Let me just pray as we come to God's word. We need his help, don't we? God, we need you to help us. We need you to teach us. Please help us to be teachable people, not to be proud, not to be arrogant, not to think that we know best, not to think we know it all. As we come to this subject of giving, help us to see it your way and not our way. Help us to sit underneath your word and let your word teach us. We do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, great. This is a subject that we're going to be preaching today. This is a bit unusual for us. We're doing a theme today as opposed to preaching through the passage. I am going to refer to that 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but we're going to be preaching about godly giving. About what does it mean to give in a godly way? So let me go back. There we go. What is your attitude towards giving financially to God's work? What is your attitude towards giving financially to God's work? Now, I know some of you are very young. You probably don't get an income yet. But this is still relevant to you because very soon you will start to get a job and you will have to think about this as well. So don't think this is irrelevant to you. What is your attitude towards giving financially to God's work? So let's go back. So I don't know if any of you have seen it. Some of you might have seen it. There's a film called Inside Out. And in the film Inside Out, there's a little child. And inside the child's head, there's all sorts of different characters. So she has joy in her head. But she also has anger. And she has kind of shyness. She has all these kind of different feelings that are represented by human beings. So I have this week been created our own emotions that might be inside our head about our attitude towards giving. So the first one I came up with, we might have the grumpy attitude. The grumpy attitude to giving. And this kind of attitude is the sort of attitude where we think, you know, I know I should give money. I know I should give money for God's causes, but I'm really not happy about it. It makes me kind of grumpy. You know, every time I do it, I kind of hate it. I take that money and I pay it, but I'm never happy about it. Maybe that's one of the things that you might feel towards giving. Let's just get started off. Second one, maybe you're the cynical sort of giver. And maybe you're not a Christian here and you're like, oh, here they go. Here the Christians asking for my money. That might be you. Or maybe you're a Christian and you're cynical and you think, I definitely have this one, by the way, a little bit cynical. So that's where we think, I can give money, yes, sure. But I reckon I could use it a bit better. I reckon it's going to be, the people I'm going to give it to might waste it a little bit. They might use it in a way that I wouldn't use it. And so you can feel a little bit begrudging about giving that money because you think it's just, you know, it's not really going to work in the same way as it could work if I had it. So maybe you're a little bit of a cynical giver. That might be you, might not be. I'm a little bit that one. I'm more this one, I think. This is the one I'm closest to. It's the stingy giver. The stingy giver. So if I have to give money, I want to know how much it is, and I'll pay that amount. So give me a number. Do I have to give £10, £20, £50? I'll pay you up to that amount. I'm not going to pay you £20 and 2 pence, because that's over the amount. I'm the sort of the stingy. I will give you what I have to give you, but I'm not going to give you any more. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're the stingy. Maybe you see that in your heart. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're very generous. I don't know. Or finally, maybe you're the unaware. Maybe you're the unaware. Maybe you, I've never even heard about this before. I didn't know I was meant to give money. Is that even in the Bible? Does anyone say anything about that? Is this some sort of money grab by the church? Is the church after my money? Is this what's happening here? So are you any of those? Maybe you are. Maybe you can think of a different one that you might be. So that's what we're looking at today. Is that one of you, the subject of giving? Now, we don't talk about this subject much as a church. Ben has said he's been here 5 years, did you say? And you've never heard a sermon on giving. And so the reason that we don't talk about this much is because we don't want to be a church that you come to that you think, they're after my money. We don't want to be that sort of church. We don't want to be asking for money all the time. But equally, the Bible, it's also very un-British, isn't it? It's very un-British to talk about. We don't like to talk about money. It's all a little bit awkward, so we tend to avoid it. But equally, the Bible does teach us about money, and it does teach us about giving. And so if we were to just ignore this subject and say, we're not going to talk about this at all, we would be disobeying God's word, because God's word tells us about this, and it tells us how we should give and that we should give. And so if we were just to just ignore this, we wouldn't be doing a good job as elders teaching the church, but also as a church. So it's a really important thing. And so we're thinking about godly giving, what it means to please God with our giving and to serve him. And last thing, before I get going, I am not an expert on this subject. Please do not think I'm giving the sermon because the elders all went and said, Chris is really good at this. They didn't do that. Okay, we said definitely not John. John should definitely not preach this sermon because he's not going to be asking about giving money to him. I'm not going to benefit a pound from anything you give. So if you were to give to this church, I don't benefit. So, but I'm just giving you this sermon because I want to learn. I want to sit under God's word. As I've been writing this sermon, I've been trying to learn about this. Hopefully you too will come into this sermon with the same attitude, to sit under God's word. What does God have to say to us? And to learn and to know we're probably not going to be 100% good at this. There's probably going to be things that we're not so good at. And so to see what God has to say. Now, before we jump into the how we give to God, first, I think we need to think about the why. Why are we meant to give money for God's causes? Why we give? That's the first thing we're going to look at. Why we give. And the first thing to say right here is this. God is not a spiritual vending machine. God is not a spiritual vending machine. Now, this is a great error. You might have heard about this before. It's often called the prosperity gospel. I've represented it as a vending machine, a spiritual vending machine. But this error teaches that when a person gives to God, it's like a transaction. It's like a transaction where God is contractually obliged to give you more in return than you give. So it's sort of like an investment. If I give £10, God has to give me more than £10 back. And so the idea of this sort of giving, and it's by using verses out of context often this, it says you're going to gain material wealth. If you give, you're going to get financial freedom, you're going to get physical health, you're going to get career success. So this is a false teaching, by the way. Don't believe, that's not what happens. But this is what some people think. They think that if you give, it's like a transaction where God is guaranteed to give you good stuff in return, and actually better stuff than you gave in the first place. And sometimes, shockingly, this kind of thinking is used against poor people. Because if you think in this way, the next conclusion is, if someone is poor, you're only poor because you didn't give in the first place. You're only poor because you haven't been generous enough. If you only gave more, then you wouldn't be poor. And so it's used to beat poor people over the head. This is not true. Let's be clear from the beginning. The goal of giving, the goal of the righteous giver in the Bible is never self-enrichment. That's never the purpose. It is not the reason that we give. No, the reason we give is sacrificial service. It's about serving our King. And if you can hear in those words, sacrificial, it's about giving up. And service, it's about serving our King. It's a submission to God. It's about acknowledging that all things come from God in the first place. So we read this in 1 Chronicles 29. This is where David and the people are giving money to God. And this is what David says. He's almost embarrassed because he's giving money to God. And this is what he says. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Both riches and honor come from you. Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. He's saying, everything I'm given to God is God's. It's his in the first, he gave it to me in the first place. The very fact I'm able to give is given to me by God. So as we come into this way of thinking about giving, first we need to see we're not about making ourselves some money. It's not about getting ourselves rich. That's what it shouldn't be. Right. Next thing. Godly giving is about faith. It's about faith. At its heart, giving money to God is about trusting God. And it's very simple how this works. As we give money away, we become poorer, right? And you're probably already thinking about that as you're maybe thinking about If I was to give money away, I'll have less money. Very good. That's absolutely true. And that's the point. Okay? You're going to become poorer. You're going to have less money. And the whole idea is that as we give, we have to put faith in God to make up the shortfall. We have to trust God to provide us with our needs. We have to trust God and not our human resources. That's at the heart of giving. But the good news is that God promises to provide those needs. Listen to this verse from Malachi chapter 3. God says this. This is really interesting. Listen to God. He's saying this to the people of Israel, but it applies to us. Bring the full tithe. That's the money they were to give. They were to give 10%. Give the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And thereby, what's it say? Put me to the test. God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. God says, if you test me, if you trust me, if you put faith in me, I will provide for you. Again, we see this in Proverbs chapter 11. One gives freely, that grows all the richer. This is a proverb. There's a person who gives freely, but he gets richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Same idea, same principle. God wants us to look away from ourselves for provision and instead look to him to provide for ourselves. And to see that his provision is so much better than what we can provide. And notice too that the riches God promises, they don't necessarily mean that you're going to be wealthy. Blessings from heaven are promised to the giver, but that may not come in the form of money. So you might be thinking, well, isn't this saying if we give money, we're going to become richer? Not necessarily. You might be blessed in money. You might. You might be blessed in righteousness. That is in the Bible, by the way. That is the true riches that we find in the Bible. If you want to be truly rich, what do you find? Not wealth, it's righteousness. I don't know if you've ever thought about righteousness as riches, but that is the true definition of riches. You might find peace. You might find joy. These verses, they're not about making us rich. What they're doing is they're telling us about God, and they're telling us about God's character. God loves to bless his people. He loves to bless his people. That's his character. When God's people give to him, he loves it because they're trusting him and he wants to overflow with blessings to them. And it's not meant to inspire us to go, wow, I can get rich. What it's meant to do is say, wow, look at our God, how he loves to overflow in blessings. And so what this means is that our giving often acts as a barometer to how much we really trust God. Now, this is a picture of a barometer. I don't know if any of, if you've got grandparents, maybe some of you have this in your home, and you're going to get offended. But grandparents often have barometers in their homes. They have them. My grandparents both, I think, had barometers on the walls in their homes, and they look like this. And what they are is they are a scientific instrument used to measure atmospheric pressure by tracking whether air pressure is rising or falling, and it acts as a reliable tool for forecasting short-term weather changes. That's a long, long way of saying. Basically, if you've got a barometer in your home, you can kind of see what the weather is going to do and what direction it's heading. It's a barometer. It kind of like tells you the direction of the weather. And so our giving doesn't tell us if we're a Christian. It doesn't. But it is a bit like a barometer. It sort of tells us what sort of direction our heart is in. It kind of tells us if we're trusting God or not. If you're not giving money to God, it's sort of suggesting that you don't trust God to provide for you. If you're giving a lot and you're trusting in him, it's sort of indicating that you do trust God. It's not 100%, it's not a guarantee, but it is like a barometer. It kind of does give you an indication. It's a good way of testing yourself. And so this is great, because I can't judge you on this. You can only judge yourself. You check yourself. Check your barometer. How are you doing? How is your heart? And remember, your heart can be deceitful, but this is a good test. Right, second thing. Godly giving is about worship. When we think about worship, we might think about singing. Maybe you think worship is singing. It is. And it can be, and it's about music. It might be about prayer, and it is. But how often do we think about giving our money away as worship? But worship is rooted in following God's commands and serving him. That's what it means to worship. It's following God's commands and serving him. One way is singing. He calls us to sing. Another way is to pray to him. Another way is to give. This is what we read in Acts 20. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. So these are the words Lord Jesus said, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a command from Jesus in Acts that we are to give. In fact, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Again, in Hebrews 13, we read this, do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. It's a command to give. And it's about worship. It pleases God if we give as a genuine response of our heart, as an act of adoration. And I want you to notice that this, it's not just a religious act. This is about our heart. So in Exodus 35, we read this, that the people come and they're stirred up and they give money to God. It says, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution. Did you notice that? It was their heart. It was the spirit that was moved in them that meant that they came and they gave to put together the tabernacle and the tent of meeting there. Giving is a response of our heart to God. And why do we do this? Primarily, as John's already alluded to, primarily because God first gave to us. We give because God gave more. You'll know this first, I'm about to say. For God so loved the world that he, what did he do? Gave, thank you, interactive part of the service. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It starts off with God giving of his greatest possession. God gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He gave his only son so that we could have eternal life. It all starts with God, and it all starts with God giving. And so when we're thinking about this subject of giving, it's about the heart in response to God first giving to us. If you don't appreciate what God's given to you, you're probably not going to want to give back in response, right? Again, this verse here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's riches, that's what grace is, God's riches at Christ's expense. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. He gave up his son. He became poor that we might become rich. And so giving is a response to that. So that's why we give. But what does that look like in practice? So we're going to look at this passage we read through. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Why are we meant to give? Well, this is a really helpful passage because in this passage, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church has obviously previously showed a willingness to give some money. Okay, so in the past, the Corinthians had said, look, we'd be willing to help. If there's guys in need, if there's churches in need, we'll be willing to help. That's what they've done. They've indicated this to Paul. But then what Paul is doing is really practical. Okay? He's doing a really practical thing. He is writing a letter to them to saying, you know you said you were going to give. Well, I'm writing to you to let you know that I'm coming to receive that gift. I'm going to come and get it, and I'm going to bring it to these Macedonians who are quite poor. I'm writing to you so that you're not embarrassed when I turn up and I say, well, I'm here for the gift, and you go, oh, we haven't got it now, Paul. We haven't had a chance. Well, you could have at least told us because we haven't. And that's a bit embarrassing because now we can't even give the gift that we wanted to give. So it's really practical advice, this. He's writing to the Corinthians to say, you said you'd offer the gift. Now I'm writing to you about this. And he tells us about the way that they should give here. So he talks about the way that they should give. And so the first one, it's the opposite of grumpy. Okay? the opposite of grumpy. In verse 7, if you've got that passage, it's really helpful, of chapter 9, verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He says, if you're going to give, don't be compelled, don't be reluctant. I want you to give cheerfully. In fact, if you're not going to give cheerfully, please don't give. Please don't give. If you're going to give, do it joyfully. Do it because you choose to do it. I think that's helpful for us today, right? So I can't even tell you, make sure you give. Because Paul's not doing that. He's saying, choose to give. Choose to give. God loves a cheerful giver. Give in the right way. Right, second thing, it's the opposite of cynical. So in verse 10 we read this, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, as they give, they should remember it's God who's supplying them with that resource. So it's not about them giving away their money. It's about them using God's resource to help others. And they're not to miss this fact, that they're not to withhold their funds because maybe they won't use this money very well. Maybe the Macedonians, they're not very good with money. That's why they're poor in the first place. Maybe I shouldn't give it. Because God has supplied you with funds to use them, is what he's saying. God has given you funds. He has supplied you with the seed for you to use it. And he's saying, remember that. Remember that you've been given money for a purpose, for a reason. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't be wise with who you give to. That's not to say that you shouldn't do your research. That's not to say you shouldn't hold people who you give money to account. So you should check their accounts. You should ask questions. You should make sure they're using that money for the kingdom of God. It's not to say that we shouldn't be wise or being careful with who we give our money to. But what it doesn't mean is that if we've had a bad experience, we say, well, I'm going to not give money because I gave money last year and they've just wasted it. So I'm not going to do that anymore. We're not to be cynical. We might change who we give to. We might say, that's not a good place. This is a better place. But we're to say, God has given me resource. Let me use that resource. God will provide me with more resource. That's the whole point of that verse. Now, the next one is, it's the opposite of stingy. Be bountiful. You see that in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And that's a very simple thing to learn, isn't it? That when we do give, to teaching to myself, when I do give, to give generously, right? Not up to the amount, be generous. Give more. Trust God to supply our every need. He says you'll be enriched to be generous. In other words, if you're generous, God will give you more to be more generous. Not to. If you give more away, you'll have more money for yourself. If you give more away, God will give you more to give more away. That's the whole idea. Don't be unaware. Last one of these. Verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. So there's two ways that we shouldn't be unaware of what our giving does. First of all, it's a service to God. So as we give, we are serving God. It's one way we can serve. Maybe you haven't got a talent in some ways, but you have got money. That is a way you can serve God, is by giving money. It's a way to build his kingdom. It's a way to fund the good work. But it's also, did you see that? A way to, in verse 12, it's a way to thank God. It's a way to thank God for what he has first given to us. And so those are the four things that the Corinthian church teaches us. Give cheerfully, give proactively, give bountifully, and serve as you do it. And do it in thanksgiving. Right. So hopefully you've got the why. Now let's look at the how. So we're all expected to give, but the way we're meant to give is not the same for all of us, okay? We're all expected to give, but that's not necessarily the same. We'll have different incomes. We are in different places in life. And so what we need to do for this next point is we need to use what's called discernment or wisdom. You need to apply what I'm about to say to your life. And so that means that the next things that I'm going to say are not rules. You hear me? You repeat that back to me? They're not what?
Rules.
Thank you. They're guides. What I'm about to tell you are guides. You use them as a tool to guide your giving. Not rules. They're guides, okay? So the first one is this, the principle of first fruits. We find this idea throughout the Bible. I could do a whole sermon on first fruits, by the way. It's brought up again and again and again. Jesus himself is described as first fruits. But the idea of first fruits is actually a really simple idea. We read about it in Proverbs 3. It says this, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with water." In other words, it's the first of your fruits. There's one of Nehemiah up there as well about the same thing. First fruits are the first things you get. So if you do a harvest, you're out in the fields and you've put your crop in and then it grows. I don't think anyone here is farmers. But if you're a farmer, that's what you would do. And then it would grow. And as you went, you were going to harvest it. And there's obviously going to be the first bit that you've harvested, the first field or the first start. They're your first fruits. The first thing that you get. Really exciting. Your first bit of the harvest. And the idea here is that we take those first fruits and we dedicate those to God. This happened in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says this, "On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and to store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." They were told there to gather their first fruits for themselves so that they wouldn't be a burden to the church. But this idea is that as you get given an income or whatever financial stuff you get, you take the first of it and you just put it aside. So that's for God. And the idea of this is that God becomes our priority. It's like a practical way of showing that God is our priority. I take the first of what I gather and I put it for him. Practically speaking, it also means that we're not going to get to the end of the month and go, "Oh no, I've spent it all." I mean, that's just a practical thing. Second thing, the principle of generosity. We've talked about this, but we are to be generous and ready to share. 1 Timothy 6, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. We find this, we also find this being practiced in the early church. I haven't got it up there, but Acts 2, verse 44, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." So even in the early church, we saw this principle in action, generosity. They were looking out amongst the church, those who had need, and they were being generous with it. So our giving should be generous. It should be heartfelt. It should be joyful. Right, how much? Is a practical, I bet a lot of you are waiting for this one. How much? What's the practical application? What can I get away with? That's me, the stingy one. How little do I have to give? Right, the first thing about how much is we should give within our means. We find this in a couple of places. It says in Deuteronomy 16, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you." This may be a unusual thing to think, but it's as you're able. You're not to give more than you have. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12, "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." So our giving should be in line with our income. So again, that's why it's going to be different for each of us. Now I know some of you are thinking, whoa, because there's Mark 12. We're going to get to that in a sec. But first, we should give according to what we have, not what we don't have. Okay? Let's go to Mark 12. I haven't put it up there. Mark 12. What happens in Mark 12? There's a poor widow, isn't there? There's a poor widow, and she's given money. Do you remember that? And she gives a couple of pennies. And Jesus goes to his disciples, and he says, "Truly I say to you, the poor widow who has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box..." So she has put in more than all who are contributing to the offering box. "For they all contributed out of their abundance, But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. I think that's a challenge to us. I think that's something that the disciples were commending the rich givers, and Jesus was saying, no, this poor woman was given more than these rich people because she was given everything. But it's not necessarily saying that every time we give, we should give all our money away. He's commending that woman. And so if you can give more, that's something to be commended for. But the general principle is to give within your means. And if your heart is so filled with love for God, you want to give everything, then that is to be commended. Again, these are principles. Another principle is the tenth principle. Throughout the Bible, we have this idea of a tenth. So, for example, when Abraham rescues Lot, he has a big battle. He rescues his nephew Lot, and he gains lots of treasure at the end of the battle. And then what Abraham does, he dedicates a tenth of that to God. Now, he doesn't pay taxes so I don't know, you have to do the calculation, because he gets 100% and he gives 10% of that to God. But I think that's worth noticing. So he gives 10% of all of that treasure to God. Then you have Jacob, Genesis 28. He has a dream about a stairway to heaven, and he sets up a stone of remembrance, and he says this, "And all that you give me, I will give a tenth to you," he says. He decides to give a tenth of what he has given in his life to God. It's a principle. Again, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they were to give a tithe. Do you know the word tithe means a tenth? I didn't know that. Mike is nodding at me like he knew that. So he knew that. I didn't know that. So tithe literally means tenth. So they were to give a tenth of what they had to God. Every tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. Now, we're not Israelites, but this is a good principle, I think, that we can take. And actually, Christians are often told to be more radical than the Old Testament. So it's a good principle. Certainly, I think in some ways it's a suggestion that we shouldn't give less than this. But again, it's joined up with our generosity. And it's going to be different for each of us. Now, who should we give to? Firstly, make sure you can provide for your family. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than a believer. So a principle about who we're going to give it to. It's important that, first of all, we do provide for our family. There's very strong words there in 1 Timothy about a person who is not providing for their family. Okay? I don't know if that's because they're giving too much away, but the principle still remains. You are meant to provide for your family. It's an important part of being a Christian. The second thing is you're meant to pay for your full-time gospel workers. In our case, that would be our pastor. So in 1 Corinthians 9:14, it says, "In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel." That those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. So that tells us, first of all, that there were those earning a living by preaching the gospel, and that the Lord commanded that they should get their living through that gospel, that they shouldn't have no income, basically. Galatians 6, verse 6, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches." Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. So it's important for us as a church, as we earn our incomes, to share that with the one who teaches so that they're paid. That's precisely what the Philippians did for Paul the Apostle. In Philippians 4, Paul says this about the Philippians, and he says, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only." So Paul was out preaching. The Philippian church was the only church sending him money and enabling him to preach the gospel. "Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." And Paul says that they were partnering with Paul in the gospel. He says, as the Philippians were giving money, sending money to Paul, they were actually funding his ministry. And so they were partnering, being part of that gospel mission. So as we give to our pastor, you're actually partnering in the gospel. I don't know if you thought about that before. You're being part of bringing the gospel to this area. And finally, the needy, care for the poor and needy, contribute to the needs of the saints, we get in Romans 12, verse 13. Matthew 5, give to the one who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who will borrow from you. And there's more verses, but I wanted to save us time, so we're not going to spend loads. But there's a principle found throughout the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, that the church is to care for the needs of the poor and the needy. We had that mission slot about the orphanage. Why is that a good thing? Why do we do that? Why is that a good thing? Because there are poor and needy people, and we are commanded to care for them, to contribute towards them, to care and have a heart for those who beg, because God cares for the poor and needy. We're to imitate him, become like him. Right, I'm sure you're warm. Nearly finished. This is the very last point, but the final warning. And before we finish this sermon, I wanted to give you a warning, because there are a group in the Bible who give, but God hates their giving. And so this is a warning if we're going to give. And he hates their giving because they give as a religious practice rather than it's from their hearts. He says this, but woe to you Pharisees, you tithe mint and rue and every herb. In other words, they tithe everything, even the mint and the herbs, like the really cheap stuff. They take a tenth of it and they give it to God. And then he says this about them, and they neglect justice and the love of God. They're really good at giving. They are not good at loving God. And he says, these you ought to have done without neglecting the others. They actually should give. Jesus is saying, they should give, but they shouldn't neglect justice and the love of God. And so you must make sure, and I must make sure, we must all make sure that when we give, we don't give as a religious practice. We don't just give because we think God will be pleased with us. We should give as an overflowing in our heart of love, of thankfulness for God for what he's first done for us, of a desire to care for those in need, of a desire to serve and worship God, as a desire to put our faith in God. But check our hearts. Make sure we're not giving like the Pharisees. It's hard, isn't it? Hard to give rightly. Should we ask God to help us in this? Let's pray. Lord, this is a hard thing. Our hearts so often deceive us, and particularly with money. We want to cling on to money, and we love what it can give us, and we love to feel rich and to spend money. And the idea of giving our money away, it can be daunting, it can feel horrible. And yet, as we look at giving, we see that at the heart of it, it's just what you're like. It's actually a really exciting thing. It's something that comes out of a generosity towards God, and it comes out of a love for others. As we love, we give. And we pray, Lord, that we would be thankful for what Jesus did on the cross, and we would be thankful for all you have given to us, and that we would give, and that we would give generously, and we would give bountifully, and we would give faithfully, but that would all come not because I've given this sermon, and that would all come not because we feel like we should, or because we feel pressurized into it, but we would give that because we love God, and we love what he's done for us, and we're really thankful, and that we would give just really happily, really joyfully, based on what he's first done for us. And so we would be a church that really pleases you with our giving, Lord. And it would be something that you would really rejoice in how we give. And that we would partner in the gospel with others. And that we would be changed by you, Lord. We do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.